Welcome back to the program. Oh, I'm so looking forward to next week for lots of reasons. Obviously, getting up early and getting in here and doing the brekkie show across the summer breakfast with SEN. And I'm doing it with my little mate. That's JA, Channel 10 presenter, host of the Sunday Crunch and co-host on Summer Breakfast. She's on the line. Hello, Jaleesa.
Jimmy, it's so good to be back. James Magnusson must have been unavailable for you, was he?
He's not strong on cricket, so we thought we'd go to you. But anyway. Well, first of all, I lived it vicariously through your Instagram account, but how was your globe-trotting, JA? It looked spectacular after the Rugby League World Cup.
Yeah, it was really good. So I started off with a bit of a holiday, went to the US, that was fun, and did a bit in London, and then I went to the Rugby League World Cup. And it was really good. They were, you know, the players were just great to deal with. I was in the same hotel as the Kangaroos, and the players, Mal Meninga, everyone was just a joy to deal with. It was a good time. I mean, it was great to see Samoa go so far. So, yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, it was interesting. The tournament doesn't get a huge amount of interest over there like it would in Australia, so I guess that was the only disappointing thing. The crowds at times were a bit low and it wasn't getting like the cut through that it would on media if it was here. But the players were great and it was good.
Yeah, and great victories for the Kangaroos and the Jillaroos as well. All right, let's bring you back closer to home. You're back to the grind of it with Channel. I know Bev's got you working very hard over there at Channel 10. So,
always.
Yes, exactly. Now, this is absolutely blown up because people have their say. I've had my say around David Warner and the statement that he released overnight in the lead up to a second test match. There's so many things to sift through with this, JA, but overwhelmingly, what was your first thought when you saw, basically from David Warner saying, well, that's it, I'm out?
Well, my first thought was, I cannot believe it is this long. We've had a pandemic and we're still talking about this ball tampering scandal. Like, I think at this point, it's just crazy that, I mean, I always thought that the punishments were a bit of an overreach. When you considered, I'm not condoning what happened, but when you consider when it's happened in the sport previously with other sides,
yes.
I thought we really did an overreach, and that's great. We keep the sport clean, but I cannot believe we're still talking about this. I don't blame David Warner for not wanting to go through it all again. So I think he's probably been a little bit, well, you think he's been frustrated by how this has played out over the past few months. Like, I remember going to when he announced with the Thunder, and of course he was asked about, well, will you captain the Thunder? And he said, well, my phone's always on. They know where I am. Like, we can, you know, sort this leadership ban out. And so I sort of got the sense then that maybe he was getting frustrated with it, but obviously the ball was in his court to go to them. But the fact that it now would have to go through a public hearing and drag, as he said, his family through all that again, of course you're not going to do that.
Mm.
Well, I didn't actually hear your thoughts earlier on it. I'm interested in what you think.
Well, I think there's so much at play here. I think the fact that Steve Smith is now going to captain this test match brings it into much sharper focus for David. I think he's frustrated by the amount of time that Cricket Australia have taken to reach this point. I think he's incredibly frustrated with the fact that they've moved the goalposts at this point now. And as you say, they want to make it a public hearing. Well, why don't they make it public for everyone? Why just for David? And the other part of it that I think is interesting, JA, I think it's Cricket Australia saying, you know what, mate, we don't want you. And this is, we're going to be seen to be doing the right thing and seen to be allowing you due process. But in actual fact, we've had enough of you.
And you know what? If that is the case, that is a huge, huge mistake. Because he could, you know, I mean, Thunder already have a captain. But just say David came in for the last few weeks to captain in the Big Bash, and that option was open, that would make the Big Bash really interesting. And to even have David Warner back in that tournament is fantastic. And if you're really going to dig your heels in and cut your nose off to spite your face on a product that has not been performing well in the past few years, largely because of COVID, but it is also seeing a decline in big names playing.
Yes.
I think that is a huge mistake. Maybe you don't want him to captain Australia again, fine. But to have the option of him captaining in a tournament that is struggling, you've missed the boat again. And they did it last year with Steve Smith when they didn't allow Steve Smith to play those last few games for the Sixers. what are you doing? Like, yeah. you're really harming your product at that point.
That's an excellent point too. So tactically, you know, from what I understand, David Warner is as good as anyone in the Australian setup when it comes to short form cricket. So they're missing out on that leadership there. And we know we've seen him do it in the IPL. And then when you contrast it against what's happening with Steve Smith for the BBL, so they're going to have to pay him a $2,200 fee per appearance because he's not on the Sydney Sixers squad until James Vince leaves. But this is a guy who you will allow captain your test side, but the guy you won't allow to captain your national side is actually going to be paid overs and above anyone else in the Australian side just to get him back into the BBL. How haphazard is that?
Yeah, and you know what? I actually feel for Steve Smith today in this as well, because it's not his fault that this is like there's such an inequitable kind of view on this. And he now has to go in and captain a test match in Adelaide with all this focus also back on, well, why does he get to do it?
Yes.
And it's harmful for him as well. It's not, and fair enough, why is there a different standard going on? Maybe you could argue like the level of involvement in the initial incident. But, I mean, Steve Smith was captain then. So I think it's unfair on him as well.
And then the other thing about it is too, no one's happier than this has broken up at this point than Pat Cummins, because as of yesterday, Pat pulled out and all we got on the talkback and the text line was, oh, what a softy, can't even captain his own country, and now he's pulling out with a little thigh injury. So it's incredible.
Were people really saying that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now they're saying, why do we have this guy as captain? He's basically in and out every second game, and now he's a bowler, he's going to be rotated, and they've made him captain. So it's incredible. This, I don't know whether it's a disconnect or it's a misunderstanding or it's a generational thing, and all the old people that are listening to this program and the young people, but the old people listening to this program just have a different view on the world. But it's fascinating from a Cricket Australia point of view, who seem to be fiddling while cricket burns.
Yeah, and I mean, that's interesting take on Pat Cummins, because I would say, captaincy is a lot more now. I would say the field side of it is almost, when you've got someone like Steve Smith to lean on and a few other senior players there, that's like the minority of his role, really. Like, captaincy is such a bigger part. And when you probably don't have that senior leadership group, it would be such a much bigger toll when you're on the field. But, like, he's captain for a lot more reasons than just what he can do on the field.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know what's going to be really funny, JA? And all this happening on the eve of a test match. You know, it starts today. You'll hear it across SEN, a second test. And I know they've won the series, but, you know, everyone's excited about a test match at home. That at some stage, Steve Smith's going to wander across to David Warner from first slip to second slip and say, oh, what do you think we should do?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And you're just losing that. I mean, I don't know if I agree with, or even if there's a place for David Warner to captain in the Australia. In the Australia squad, I don't know, maybe that, I didn't think there was maybe a place for Steve Smith until everything changed and Tim Payne was out. But maybe there's not a place for him that, but it's just having the option there and
yes.
Also just having that big bash option as well. It's such a bizarre decision. Cricket does such bizarre things to itself sometimes.
You're going out to Cricket Central at the moment. BBL 12 about to start. Sixers and the Thunders. Obviously, you know, Sixers incredible franchise. The Thunder have had their success as well. What are your thoughts around the BBL 12? And you talked earlier about, you know, the number of people through the gate and the number of people watching and the number of games played. Do you get a sense that, and the measures that Cricket Australia have taken to arrest that decline, do you get a sense that this is going to be a more exciting season?
Look, I think it's great that we don't have COVID to contend with this
yes.
year. I am worried about it, and I absolutely love the Big Bash. I really, really enjoy it, and I've already heard people starting to get a bit narky about it, and it really frustrates me because the one thing people say is, oh, yeah, but there's no stars. And I'm like, if you can't sit there and enjoy a game of cricket when there's not completely, like, all of the top names playing, there's still some pretty good names playing.
Yeah.
Then, I think you're probably not watching the product, and the product's also it's more about like the whole of it too. Like when you go to a live game, if you don't like the Big Bash, go to a live game because honestly, it's so much fun. And if I had kids, I would be taking them there and entertaining them because it is such an entertaining product. I do worry about it a bit. I think it's obviously come off the boil the last couple of years. Maybe that's COVID, but also there's players, just the level of the amount of cricket that players are going to have to play. I worry about it moving forward. I think the women's Big Bash is on an upward trajectory and the men's is on a decline. But you know who I'm excited to talk to today? Our good mate, Sock.
Oh, you're going to get a scoop out of Sock?
Oh, I hope so. He's going around again. He's pretty good for a grab, actually. He tends to get himself in the headlines when he says something.
True. That's true. Just in regards to that, I got the sense that you were alluding to the fact that ever since the Big Bash League went off Channel 10, that it had been suffering from that point. So nice work there for your employer. And the other one...
I hope Bev heard that.
Yeah, Bev would have heard that. Listens all the time.
She would love that.
Yeah, and then the other one I heard was you're actually prepared to take my kids to a BBL game. Is that right?
Hey, I'll take your kids to a BBL game if you're not coming, for sure.
That's right. They might be better behaved for you. In fact, I'm sure they would be. But anyway, hey, JA.
They might not want to go with me.
Nah, they'd love it. They'd love it. Enjoy the press conference. Get your sleeps in over the course of the weekend, and I can't wait to do brekkie again with you starting next Monday.
Thank you, Jimmy. Bye.
If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to tune in from midday, Monday to Thursday, till 3 p.m. on 1170 SEN.